Our text this morning is the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. What I will be reading differs from the text in front of you, which is a preview of Friday's text. "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.' These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen." Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, the one by whom Satan is overpowered. Pride is one of those things that has both a good side and a bad side. There is nothing wrong with taking pride in achieving a worthy goal you set out to accomplish. Hopefully, a large number of you students were able to take pride in your midterm accomplishments. You achieved a certain level of satisfaction upon seeing that the time you spent studying paid off with a good grade and with knowledge that you can keep and use for many years. Academically, athletically, artistically, many of you can be proud of results that have come about because you put the effort into doing something to the best of your ability. Pride, though, is easily twisted into something evil within us. Sin makes us very selfish people, and pride plays to that part of us with ease. The beautiful people can become vain and conceited by taking pride in how they look. The smart people can become arrogant and superior by taking sinful pride in how well they have done. The athlete can become self-important and cocky as he thinks about how much the team needs him. Pride really makes us very unlikable people. Unless we hang around with people just like us so that together we can look down our noses at all those unfortunate people not gifted with beauty or intelligence or strength or speed or any of the other things that allow us to consider other people as our inferiors. St. Paul had reason for pride. God had used him for all sorts of marvelous things for the good of the Holy Christian Church. Paul saw visions. He had numerous bad things happen to him from which he bounced right back again. He was at the forefront of bringing the Word of God to thousands of souls who did not know Jesus. He could easily point to all these accomplishments, the scars he bore, the years of hard work, all for the church. He could speak with others and say, "What have you done in comparison to me?" Our Heavenly Father loves St. Paul. God knows that sinful pride will be of great spiritual harm to Paul personally and to the work he was sent to do. So God allows a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to harass Paul. Why? So that Paul will learn humility. So that Paul will see that finally all his gifts, all his work, in fact, everything he has done is from God alone. The thorn in the flesh is there to humble Paul so that he might see the strength of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul did not like that thorn in the flesh. It truly was something that troubled him and kept troubling him. He prayed that the Lord would take it away 3 times. But the Lord's answer to this prayer of Paul was no. And that no allowed Paul to learn to trust not in himself, but in his Savior. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul was forced to rely upon the grace of God alone, and that was enough. The thorn would remain, but it would not overcome Paul. Rather, it would be used by God to make Paul even stronger. And how? Well, by putting the foundation of Christ under Paul's feet instead of Paul's own achievements. Now Paul was secure. Now he would not focus on his own personal strengths and gifts, but in his infirmities. He would learn to thank God that despite his own weaknesses, still God would do great things. The grace of God was sufficient for Paul. The grace of God that gave him forgiveness for his pride and the strength to withstand that messenger from Satan. What God ordained was good. When you see in yourself the temptation to pride, consider this text given to us today from our Savior. Learn to see sinful pride as the road away from God, away from God's grace in Christ, and the road to idolatry, where our own achievements take the place of the God who created us. If God has seen fit to humble you in some way, accept it as a gift from God, a gift that allows your eyes to be opened to your pride and a way to live in humility. Your abilities are all from God. Do not revel in them as if they are only about you. Rather, by the grace of God in Christ, receive and recognize your abilities as gifts you do not deserve. Use them to help the neighbors God has put in your lives. Learn what it means, when I am weak, then I am strong. Your strength is in Christ Jesus, your Savior, the one in whom you are forgiven, and the one on whom you can rely, even if buffeted for a time by a messenger of Satan. He who guards you will not forsake you, but works to strengthen and keep you as his child. What God ordains is always good. Thanks be to God. Amen. In our prayers this morning, we include a request for the family of Mike Ensted, whose grandfather passed away recently and whose funeral is tomorrow. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, you are the Lord of life. You have seen fit to call home to yourself this child of yours. We pray that you would be with those who grieve his death at this time. Point them to the resurrection and the life that is in Jesus Christ, the hope of all who believe. Comfort them, Lord, so that they do not grieve as those who have no hope, but as those who know what Christ has done for them and for their loved one. We pray in Jesus' name. And Almighty and everlasting God, by your Son you have promised us the forgiveness of sins, righteousness, and everlasting life. We beseech you by your Holy Spirit, so enliven our hearts that in daily prayer we may seek our help in Christ against all temptations, and constantly believing his promise, obtain that for which we pray, and at last be saved through your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.
Oh,
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.